This is Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence. It's time for a new season at the Farmer's Alley Theater in downtown Kalamazoo. They're starting their eighth season with the show Little Shop of Horrors, the 1982 Howard Ashman, Alan Menken musical, which went on to become a feature film in 1986. The source material was a Roger Corman-directed black comedy that was released in 1960. The two leads in the Farmer's Alley Theater production are Harrison Bryan, hailing from Brooklyn, New York, and Melody Ricketts, all the way from Los Angeles, California. The director is Kathy Moulet, whose resume is too long to list. Suffice it to say, there's very little musical theater she hasn't directed. I asked Kathy where Little Shop of Horrors falls in the music theater spectrum.
I would call it a melodrama. And the definition of melodrama is playing the story with great intensity. The feelings are real and we identify with the characters, but we play it just far enough that we get that melodramatic drama and we find it funny. And so that's what's so great about Little Shop of Horrors, of course, is one of the greatest comedies written for the musical theater stage, and it's existed for so many years, opened in 1982 off-Broadway. So this is my second time actually directing the production. I did it 25 years ago. So I keep trying to think, what did I do 25 years ago? You can't even compare because, of course, I did it on a very large proscenium stage, and we're in Farmer's Alley in our intimate setting.
Well, we'll have to get to a discussion on how you handle the puppetry and the building of the giant plant Audrey 2 in this, but I'd like to meet some of the human co-stars now, and that would be Melody Ricketts and Harrison Bryan. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you so much.
Hiya.
I understand you're coming from completely different sides of the country. Melody, why don't you go first?
Yes, I just moved out to Los Angeles about a year and a half ago to pursue musical theater and film. I basically want to act in any way that I can. And it's actually a funny story. I had auditioned for the role of Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors with the community theater in Los Angeles, but I didn't book it. And the very next day, I went online to backstage.com and I saw they were seeking video submissions for Audrey here in Kalamazoo. And so while I thought it was a long shot, I've never acted professionally before. I was like, well, Audrey means enough to me. I'm going to try anyway and see if I can do it. And sure enough, I got it. So it's pretty crazy. And I'm very honored.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I think we're lucky here in Kalamazoo to see a new star being born in this production, which I should mention to folks, starts next week. The actual performances don't start this weekend, but next week. So you have plenty of time to get online to farmersalleytheater.com if you're interested in more information and tickets. So Melody, from where did you move?
Northern Nevada. So I was close to, I was in Minden, Nevada, but I was close to Lake Tahoe and Reno. I was only about 30 minutes out from each of those. And I've been doing musical theater since I was 8. My mom literally had to force me to audition for Annie Jr. when I was a kid. I was so shy that I didn't want to, but as soon as I auditioned and got involved, I didn't stop. I instantly fell in love with musical theater.
Well, what do you love about it?
Well, oh my gosh, that's a really good question. When I get on stage, I have this kind of ironic quote that I use where the only time I can really be myself is and be comfortable is when I'm on stage. I really feel my soul come alive. There's nothing quite like being able to create a world for your audience and like engross yourself in that role and make people believe this kind of magical universe exists, even if it's just for, you know, a couple of hours to hear them react and to see their smiles and to know that you're making a difference and making something special for them is unlike anything else.
Do you think that theater people are different from non-theater people?
I would say, be careful there,
Melody. They're listening.
Well, I don't think the average person bursts into song randomly in public as much as any average person would. I think musical theater people are just, they can be very energetic, and you can almost always pick out someone who's an actor just by the way that they interact with you. They always have like a flair about them, and it's always really fun to come across musical theater people like at auditions. Auditions are so much fun because everyone's just so excited and everyone wants to know like what your next show is and what you're booking, and it's a really wonderful community and everyone's really supportive and encouraging.
Well, I think I need to subject Harrison to the same grilling here. So hello to you, Harrison. So, you came from the opposite side of
yeah,
the country.
Yeah, so while Melody was growing up in a desert in Nevada, I was growing up in the less humble streets of Brooklyn. And I loved it. I grew up in the same house that my mom grew up in, her mom grew up in. My grandma lives downstairs, so it's like a Neil Simon play every day. But I got humbled greatly when I went to Boston University and did a four-year acting program there. Graduated in 2014, and I've been on the road since, doing a couple of regional theater, doing a tour. And I've been looking for the opportunity to play Seymour since I was 11. It seemed like every time I wanted to do it, the teacher waited until I graduated to do it. So I've just been teased with it. And for me, it's like the Hamlet of musical theater. I mean, for a person of my type, for a short Jewish kind of looking guy, this is the best role you could ask for. I mean, all right, here we go. This is why. This is my checklist. Gets the girl, gets to kill people, gets killed, and sings with puppets. Not even Hamlet
Spoiler
gets to do
alert,
that.
Spoiler alert, everyone. My goodness.
I'm bringing them into the show. I'm bringing them in. But yeah, I get drawn to characters who are shy, who maybe don't have as large or energetic of a voice that I have. But they do have big dreams. And people need a little push to get to those dreams. And I like to think that, you know, I get to do that.
Even if it doesn't end so.
Even if it ends with a man-eating plant, you know? even so. We all have a little man-eating plant inside of us.
Well, back to Kathy. So we've gotten a strange introduction now to our story, but we could let the music do the talking for us, if you like. What should we listen to?
Well, here? I think the best way to start is with the opening number, which is three... urchins, street urchins who live on Skid Row, who serve as a pseudo Greek chorus in the production. And they kind of are all knowing, all seeing, and they start off introducing us to the little shop of horrors.
And when we come back, maybe we can talk about how Alan Menken and Mr. Ashman, I think,
yes,
you know, created this musical in the context of the early 80s and what it might have been a reaction to.
On the 21st day of the month of September, in an early year of a decade not too long before our own, the human race suddenly... Something's gonna get her. She better. Everybody better beware. Come on, come on, come on. Little shop of horrors. Pop, she pop. You'll never stop the terror.
That's the opening number for Little Shop of Horrors, so it gives you a taste of what you're in for. There's some terrific 50s, 60s singing there going on in three-part harmony, Kathy, and I'm sure you've cast some terrific singers for this chorus.
Absolutely. I mean, we're very thrilled. What's really fun for me, one of the urchins is Jasmine Franklin, who actually was one of my students at Portage Central High School, who's gone on to quite a musical career herself, and she's come back to do this with us. So it's very exciting. We also have Tia, I can't remember Tia's last name at the moment. Is it here in front of me?
Pinson. Tia Pinson.
Sorry. And Christy Coleman, who make out the trio, and they've worked very hard, and their sound is amazing.
The Farmers Alley Theater is a small theater. You're up close and personal with the performers. The vocal stylings are always so beautiful when you're that close. They do a little bit of enhancement, but you really get a vivid experience in a theater setting at Farmers Alley. So I'm sure you're making the most of that space.
We are. We've never had such large props that almost take up the entire stage space. But yeah, it's very up close and personal. And that's what people love about our theater, is that you can almost reach out and touch the actors. And so you get every little nuance, every little feeling, every expression. And it just... It has such an impact than sitting in a large proscenium theater where your performers are so far away from you.
Is that the kind of theater that this was originally designed for?
Absolutely. It was done in a very small theater, not much bigger than ours, off Broadway in 1982.
I've heard of Alan Menken. Has he written for Disney before?
Yes, Little Mermaid.
Beauty and the Beast.
So he went on to do all of those.
Yes. Disney and Howard Ashman, who did the lyrics, unfortunately died. Mm-hmm. And Alan Menken has gone on to do some of the other bigger Disney ones after his death. But yeah, they were a great composing team. And this is really kind of a parody, actually, of the old 1960s movie that was made. It was a B movie, black and white. Harrison, you want to talk about
and
that?
And if any of you are near a computer, Google 1960 original Little Shop of Horrors, and you will not regret it. It is hilarious and terrible and amazing.
So it's a black and white sort of B-movie about a man-eating plant.
They really go to the extreme with it. I mean, they take all these characters to the nth degree. And if you know the musical, seeing how the characters were born is like an amazing thrill. And there are all these little droplets of inside jokes that Ashman put into this book that stem from that original movie. Characters that were cut that have just little mentionings in the musical. And it was a lot of fun to rewatch. And Melody and I had a great little popcorn date over it.
Also, Jack Nicholson is in it, and he's like 20, and he's amazing. He's one of the patients of the sadistic... dentist, and he's really creepy and really wonderful.
Well,
as he usually
is. I think that was his premiere.
I think it was his first. I do think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Howard Ashman and Alan Menken were having an affectionate look back at the sort of monster movies of the 50s and 60s.
Well, I think they were reflecting on the 1960s and 70s and what had happened here in the United States. In the 1980s, the poor were getting poorer and the rich were getting richer. And so you had all these people who were without and were looking for... You could do one of two things. You know, you could wallow in your self-pity, do drugs and be nobody, or you could just dream a lot. Dreaming of the 1950s and what that was like, suburbia and... having a home and a garden and all of these things. So you may not have had it, but you could dream about it. And so they took the musical, and I think the mentality of the 1980s could reflect themselves on some of the events that had just happened. And that's why in the opening number it says, what's the exact words, you guys? Something about the events in a decade or two ago. It was really reflecting, I think, on all of the issues that we were having in the country in the 1960s, considering segregation and our fear, the white supremacist fear of segregation. And the second was President Nixon and Watergate and our distrust of the country. And so this monster plant kind of represents a couple of things.
It could, certainly could.
See, I knew Nixon was going to get brought up on a radio interview. I called that.
Well, I'm no David Frost. I know, Harrison, you're hoping.
I'm ready for you. Bring it on.
Well, Harrison, actually, since we're going to look at a song called Grow For Me, maybe you can introduce your character, Seymour, and what he's all about.
So Seymour is a young botanical genius, as they call him in the show, and his only love, other than the love he has for Audrey, which is kept secret, is a love for botany. And nobody loves flowers and knows more about flowers than Seymour Krelborn. And he finds this very strange and interesting plant, something almost seemingly from another world, and can't figure out what it is. It looks like some kind of fly trap, but he can't identify it. And it isn't until he accidentally pricks his finger and a little blood starts dripping out that he realizes that his strange and interesting plant has a strange and interesting fascination for blood and will eventually be the thing that leads to his downfall, but the plant's uprise.
Harrison Bryan stars as Seymour, Melody Ricketts is Audrey, and Kathy Moulet directs Little Shop of Horrors at Farmers Alley Theater, which begins September 18th. Details at farmersalleytheater.com.
Oh, Tooey. Tooey, I don't know what else to do for you. Mr. Mushnick and Audrey, they just met you, but I've been going through this for weeks. Grow and wilt, spurt and flop. Are you sickly little plant, or you're just stubborn? What is it you want? What is it you need? I've given you sunshine. I've given you dirt. You've given me nothing but heartache. I've given you sunlight. I've given you rain. Looks like you're not happy unless I open a vein. I'll give you a few drops, if that'll appease. Now please, oh please, ouch, grow for me?
Grow for me. And sitting here at WMUK is the Seymour for the Farmers Alley Theater production of Little Shop of Horrors. Harrison Bryan, you did some research on this. As we know, you went back and looked at the movie that this was came from. And just listening to the soundtrack reminded me that a lot of us grow up with musical soundtracks. This and Grease were two big ones for my generation to listen to. So there is a lot of history you can go into if you want, but when you're developing a character, is that something you set aside for a while, or?
I like to start with the just the script. You know, I just had a teacher who said that your role is 30% of the black on the page, the lines and the stage directions, and 70% is the white space around it. And so it's sort of my job to figure out, how do I fill that 70%? Because 30% of the job's already done for me. So I like to start with really putting myself in the shoes and figuring out, like, well, what would I do? And fortunately, Seymour and I have, like, a lot in common, so it's mostly, like, what would we do? And I think when I'm challenged, when I'm struggling, then I like to maybe go back, okay, what did Rick Moranis do in the movie? What do I hear in the original soundtrack? You know, what notes did Hunter Foster sing better than me? You know, and like, and I look at it like that. So when I'm struggling, I go back to the original sources, but I like to stick with me and the script first.
Melody, let me turn back to you and ask you about Seymour and Audrey. Seymour clearly has some feelings for Audrey that he can't express.
Right. So Audrey, oh gosh, I love Audrey. Audrey, I think she's, if there's any actress out there who doesn't want to play Audrey, I question her, because I feel like she's the full package. She's a lot like Seymour. She has, you know, she has the romance, she has humor, she has beauty, and she has everything you'd want. I don't want to give everything away, but she has other things that people love to do on stage.
She has a boyfriend.
Right. She has a boyfriend. she has drama. It's challenging. It's a challenging role. But what I admire so much about Audrey is her ability to remain so sweet and so endearing and innocent, yet she's also very strong, and she puts up with so much, and she's always wanting to give, always wanting to help. And she and Seymour have always shared a bond because, essentially, Audrey's kind of the female version of Seymour. Mr. Mushnick, who is our boss at the flower shop we work at, he even refers to us as misfit employees. And that's what we are. We pretty much are misfits. We both want something more. We both want to get out of Skid Row, this horrible place that we grew up in and work, and we confide in one another. And it's a very unsuspecting but very sweet and very real romance. But yeah, as far as Audrey is concerned, I do love to look at the script and get a feel of something natural. On the other hand, the original Audrey was played by the legendary Ellen Green, and I essentially want to be her. So
she's an inspiration.
She is a very big inspiration. I feel like she's the only one who's ever really got Audrey right, because she doesn't play her as a farce. She's just so real. Even when she's being like borderline ridiculous, like with her, like how like she sings, I can't wait to play the track, because she has just the sweetest, strangest little voice, and it pulls at your heartstrings. And she understands how real Audrey's dreams and how real she is. And
that reminds me of what Kathy Mulet was saying about melodrama. The characters can't be in on the joke. For them, yeah, it's very real.
Exactly. And that's what Ellen grasps. I cry every time I watch any clip of her singing Somewhere That's Green, because you just see it in her eyes. It's like she really is Audrey, and she is, especially to me. Whenever I'm rehearsing, I just think about her, and I like see her pretty little smiling face, and I just try to connect with her as much as I can, because Audrey deserves to be played the way Ellen gave birth to her, really.
You've done such a good job of setting up this moment, Somewhere It's Green, that we will skip Dentist for a moment and listen and listen to this song. But let me first remind listeners that the Farmers Alley Theater begins its run of Little Shop of Horrors on September 18th and continues through October 11th. Tickets and information are all available at farmersalleytheater.com, and that's theater with an R-E at the end. And the phone number, of course, was right in front of me. There it is, 269-343-2727.
I know Seymour's the greatest, but I'm dating a semi-sadist, so I got a black eye and my arms in a cast. Still, that Seymour's a cutie. Well, if not, he's good enough, beauty. And I dream of a place where we could be from Skid Row. I dream we'll go so.
You don't really expect to go to a show and cry when it's called Little Shop of Horrors and have this much compassion for a character.
Yes.
But Audrey has this wonderful moment.
Yes.
What a dream to be able to sing it.
It is absolutely a dream role. I was about, I think I was 11 when I first saw this show. I got to see it in kind of this creepy outdoor venue. So it was perfect for Little Shop of Horrors. And one of my drama teachers was actually playing Audrey, and she actually was quite wonderful. She was a lot like Ellen. And ever since then, it's been a dream role of mine. One of my best friends played Audrey in a high school production, and she also was very true to Ellen Green. So over all these years, I've hoped and dreamed that I would be her, and the fact that it actually happened is still strange to me. I still have nights where I come back upstairs to my apartment after rehearsals, and I'm like, wait, I'm actually going to be performing. Like, I actually have this. That wasn't an audition. Like, I still sometimes feel like I'm going to, like, wake up from some dream.
If I could interject, I auditioned a huge number of actresses for this part. I mean, this is one of those roles that, you're right, every actress who's of the right age would like to play. And, of course, I received a lot of video recording auditions from all over this country. Many, many, many from New York City and Los Angeles. But there was something really special about this young woman. There's an honesty, there's an expression in the eye that the minute I saw her audition sitting in a car singing to me, which I just laughed. I thought it was just so unusual. And I said, that's my Audrey. There she is. And I haven't been disappointed for a second.
You've really honed your instincts, though. I mean, after the experience you've built up, for you, these decisions, they may seem like gut decisions, but they come from so much experience.
If you make a mistake, you'll pay for it.
Well, I think we need to talk about the living, breathing, singing, moving plant, Audrey II, and how this is a who's singing this part, by the way?
Stephen Gray, who's an actor who's done a tremendous amount of work in Grand Rapids. And this is his first time working with us down at Farmers Alley. And he's a chameleon, actually. Mm-hmm. Stephen has played so many roles that are, you know, from Jesus Christ Superstar to very tender roles. Or he's been in Spam a lot. I mean, his resume is huge. And he can actually become a different voice and a different person. And he's doing a tremendous job as our plant voice.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah, it's really cool to talk to one actor who's operating the puppet and then talk to the other actor who's operating the voice of the puppet. And they'll often stand on opposite sides of the stage, and my attention is really, and my energy is geared towards the puppet, but I can't help look at Steven and see the crazy faces he's making. and it helps me sort of get a better image of what this talking plant would actually look like if he was actually a talking plant. So yeah, Steven's great, and he's really fun to work with.
Was this puppet built from scratch, or do you have access to?
No, actually, we've rented the plant, and I actually rented it from the company that I rented from 25 years ago. Unfortunately, when we were attempting to find it, this company, the website wasn't up to date, and I didn't think they really existed anymore. So we made arrangements with another company. We didn't like it. So we found this, and they're brilliant. They're amazing. He has four sets of them, and they are exactly what they need to be. They are very reminiscent of the originals.
Yeah. Yeah, the problems were all solved in 1982. So
yes, that's right. We don't need to do it differently.
Well, why don't we get back to the show, and somebody needs to tell me about this boyfriend of Audrey's.
Yes, indeed. Oren Scrivello, DDS, is my sadistic boyfriend who
He admits it himself.
Yes, yes. He is very open to the fact that he gets pleasure out of other people's pain. And I met him working in the gutter, and the gutter is a night spot that Audrey had to work at on her nights off. And she met Oren Scrivello there, and she thought she deserved this kind of person because Audrey has a low self-image problem. And so she's dating this crazy man who happens to be a dentist, and he gets off on the pain he inflicts, which is one of his actual lyrics. And he actually ends up having a really amazing scene with Seymour, if you want to talk about that, Harrison, which is great.
I would talk about it, but Melanie, you just gave away half the lines of the show. yeah, actually, you know, it's funny. I mentioned similarities between Seymour and I hate the dentist. I hate going to the dentist, hate the sounds, the smell, and if my dentist is listening, I'm sorry, it's not you, dude, it's your job. It's just, I don't know how you enjoy doing this job of yours. I think it's disgusting. And so how perfect that the villain of this musical comedy is a dentist, the guy that we don't like to go to, but he's so important for our health. You know, and I've had braces for almost 4 years, and they told me it would only be a year and a half. And 3 years later, I still have them. I fell for that trick, and my parents maybe are still paying for it. I don't know what was more expensive, college or my braces, but there's a gimmick in there somewhere, and we're going to come down on you, dentists. We are.
Technically, that was an orthodontist that gave you braces.
See, this is why she's great, you know? Yeah. She's great. That's why we keep her around.
The smarter one.
And Jeremy Koch is our dentist, and he's also the artistic director of the theater, and he's the guy who called Melody and I and told us that we got these roles. And
he's always so well cast in dark, brooding sort of roles.
Oh, yeah.
I think he could,
his eyebrows, they move so well.
But yeah, just tweak it a little bit, and here he is as the dentist.
But he's super nice, and we're both big Met fans, and meeting another Met fan here in Kalamazoo, Michigan was a real treat. But it's scary sometimes in those scenes with him. I never know what to expect. And he's always keeping me on my toes, and that's the best thing to ask for from an actor. So,
well, you'll meet a lot of Met fans here.
Really?
Metropolitan Opera, of course. We carry it on Saturdays on WMUK. So. All right. Well, let's hear this this showpiece for the dentist. What's his name again?
Oren Scrivello.
Younger, just a bad little kid. My mama noticed funny things I did, like shooting puppies with a BB gun. I'd poison guppies, and when I was done, I'd find a pussycat bashing its head. That's when my mama said,
what did she say?
She said, my boy, I think someday you'll find a way to make your natural tendencies pay. It may cause my patients distress. Somewhere in heaven above me, I know that my mama's proud of me. 'Cause I'm a dentist and a success. Say ah. Say ah.
Ah.
And I'll spit.
Well, if you just tuned in, we are listening to a highlight from Little Shop of Horrors, and certainly not telling you that dentists are anything to be afraid of. It's come a long way. This is a reaction from a composer and lyricist who were going on 1960s and 70s technology at the time. Mm. So, but anyway, Alan Menken and Howard Ashman, they were a great team, as Kathy said, and one of the great highlights of this show is hearing the dialogue and how it flows into songs. It's a very clever show. Would you agree?
Oh, Melody? Gosh, yeah. It's brilliantly written.
Yeah, one of the best things about that original movie, too, is all these one-liners. They nail one-liners. And I think in the lyric writing and in the book writing, they've allowed that one-liner sensibility to remain alive. So the whole time, I don't know, there are plenty of moments in the show where I think there should be a bam-pa, and I'm waiting for it, and then I miss my next line. So, I think what they needed to do in order to make this show work was keep it light, because it is a melodrama, and there is blood and mystery and murder, and so in order for us to really follow and not be discouraged by it, they kept the energy really quirky, and the characters are extremists, and I think their cleverness really shines through because of it.
I read that there is a difference between the way that the original musical ends and the way the movie ends, or the way they changed it in the...
Yes,
absolutely. When they made the movie, they ended it the way our play ends. And they had a viewing on the West Coast, and the audience hated it. They loved it all the way till the ending. And so the movie makers thought, okay, we're not going to be able to make any money on this. So they filmed a completely different ending. And you can actually go on YouTube and watch both endings.
Oh,
the
really?
Alternative ending is there. And it's really fun to watch. So, you know, the lesson, I think you don't want to ignore the lesson that the message that is coming across, which is it's okay to dream. But we have to be ethical. We can't go beyond our ethics. So our ethics really come into question. Once again, going back to Watergate and Nixon and all that kind of thing. There's a real message there in this very charming little musical.
Yes. And what I also admire about this musical is the ability it has to mix all these different genres, and it's not just a mess. You know, like there are so many films and musicals where they try to be funny, they try to be dramatic, they try to be sentimental, and it just doesn't really blend. There's kind of like something off about it. But the way this is written, just it flows. You know exactly when like you're supposed to laugh. You know exactly when it's like a real serious moment to just take in. And like that's amazing to like accomplish something like that in writing.
Well, and the music style for each character fits their character.
Exactly.
You know, you just saw heard the dentist song. And it's a very Motown sound. And, you know, the girl groups of the 50s and 60s, or the 60s, actually. In fact, the three girls in the show are named Ronette, Crystal, and
Chiffon.
With a takeoff on the Ronettes, the Chiffons, and yeah. So anyway, it's just so clever and so much fun.
Again, the Farmers Alley Theater production of Little Shop of Horrors begins September 18th. Tickets are available at farmersalleytheater.com or by calling 269-343-2727. Are there any other actors or characters that we'd like to touch upon here before it's time to go?
It's a small cast. Brian Ponzi is our operator of the plant. We mentioned Stephen being the voice. And then it's the three girls and Audrey Seymour and Mr. Mushnick, who is being played by Lou Price, who's a kind of a favorite actor in the community, who's playing Mr. Mushnick. Couldn't even say that. And his music is very Jewish influenced. And Lou played Tevye at the Civic, so he's got a real sense for that, how that works. And there's a real cute number between Seymour and Mushnick.
Have you ever seen a Jewish tango? I bet you haven't. So the last bar mitzvah you went to will fail in comparison to the dance that we have prepared for you here at Little Shop of Horrors and Farmers Alley Theater.
Which opens on September 18th. And from today, that's you've got 1 week and a bit more. Mm-hmm. So in this last week, what are the final things that are obsessing you and making sure that this show gets completely polished up?
Well, it's still about finding that 70% on the white space. You know, it's about making the show sharp and fitting on that stage. I mean, it's great that it's intimate. It feels really good to play in a smaller house like this. But it presents some challenges, and when the puppet is half the stage, it's a fun challenge because you don't want to die too early in this show, and any small trip could lead to falling into that plant. So
the technical aspects of this show are what's difficult, and that's what's to come when we put it all together. Lanny Potts is doing our lighting design, so I have no concern about how beautiful it's going to look. And the set is very clever and very interesting, but has posed a lot of challenges because we have to go in and out of that flower shop and, of course, change over the puppets and so on and so forth. So all of that, the timing and smoothing all that out and making it work like magic, is our biggest challenge ahead.
This might be understood for a Farmers Alley Theater production, but it should be said that, of course, it's a live band.
Absolutely. Yes, we should mention Marie, should we? Anybody else in the production? Marie Kerstetter is our music director. And yes, of course, she has assembled a wonderful orchestra, as she always does.
And you know, we rehearse for 3.5 weeks with just a piano, and then to bring in all the other instruments changes the feel of the show. So we're excited to hear them.
I really admire Marie so much, our musical director, because not only does she help us so much just with the music itself, but she's such a passionate musical director that she really has helped me understand Audrey in a lot of ways too. And she's really great about telling us when we need to be using diction, as she always says. And you suddenly realize things about the lyrics and about the story you're telling through the song that you didn't really think about before. And she's really helped me with that, where I've like not just, you know, saying this lyric and that, like I understand it, but she takes it to the next level and she makes sure that we make it the best it can be, which is amazing.
Melody Ricketts, this is your professional debut.
Yes,
this is the first time that you've been hired into a professional company and you're the lead. You must just have so many butterflies for next week.
Currently, they are swarming in my stomach as we speak. What's so incredible, and I've been communicating this with my family and my friends, it's the fact that not only is this one of my dream shows and dream roles, but the moment I first heard from Jeremy when he called me telling me I had the part, I just felt this warmth and this automatic welcome to the city, to the company, and I feel like I could just stay here. Like, I've been like thinking about the fact that I had to go back to LA and like work as a host every night, and I'm like, I wish I could keep living this dream forever, but I guess, I mean, at some point it has to come to an end, and for the time being I just need to cherish every moment I have of it.
Well, you'll have a wonderful thing to add to your resume.
Absolutely.
When you take it around.
Absolutely.
Any chance that your family or friends might make it to Kalamazoo?
Yes, fortunately my sister and my mom will be able to come see it, and my sister is very successful musical theater back in LA. Somewhat of a celebrity there, really. She does a lot of shows, so I know she's so excited to see this production, and I'm sure it won't let her down, because I sent her like all the promo videos of Farmers Alley Theater, and I just like, I love bragging about this incredible company that I'm a part of. So
thank you. That's nice to hear, and I think, you know, it'll go very well for you.
Yes.
Kathy wouldn't let it happen any other way.
I beat it out of them.
And Harrison, of course, this is your debut in the role, right?
Mm-hmm.
As Seymour.
Yeah, and there's enough butterflies going around in that apartment. I bought a butterfly net, and by the time we're done with this run, we're gonna have butterfly stew. We're gonna catch them all.
Why would we eat butterfly stew?
She doesn't like it now, but she'll grow to the idea.
Yeah. I'll just set him free on stage.
You can see he's got a great sense of humor that translates very well to the character on stage.
Well, this has been a very easy, fast hour for me. We just flew by with Little Shop of Horrors and my guests, Harrison Bryan, Melody Ricketts, and Kathy Moulet. Thank you all for coming in. Who would like to set up this last song, Suddenly Seymour?
Go ahead, Brian. I mean, Harrison.
One day she'll get my name right, huh? There it is, world. Suddenly Seymour is one of the most iconic love songs in the canon of musical theater, and it's the first moment in the show where Seymour and Audrey get to really see each other and open up and let the fireworks and the butterflies run rampant in the streets of Skid Row.
Come see the show on September 18th through October 11th at Farmers Alley Theater. And thanks again. Break a leg, guys.
Thank you so much.
Lift up your head. Wash off your mascara. Here, take my Kleenex, wipe that lipstick away. Show me your face, clean as the morning.
Little Shop of Horrors opens at the Farmers Alley Theater on September 18th and continues through October 11th. Details can be found at farmersalleytheater.com. Earlier, I spoke with director Kathy Moulet and actors Harrison Bryan and Melody Ricketts. I'm Cara Lawrence. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan.